AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson on the 4 o'clock show here on your Tuesday afternoon. To District 30A we move, which represents areas of Elk River and Monticello and Big Lake, as we are talking about someone who is running in a House special election for the Minnesota State Representatives that is taking place on Tuesday, February 4th, so that is definitely sneaking up on us. We are speaking with Chad Hobot. He is the DFL-nominated candidate in District 30A, and he joins us now on the program. Hey there, Chad. How you doing today?
Great, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Good to chat with you again. And of course, our listeners might be familiar with you here on AM 950, hearing your ads for social media MN. But of course, you're now actually running for the State House of Representatives. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the legislature coming up in a couple weeks here.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, in our community here, we have a coal power plant called the Sherco Coal Power Park. Sherco Coal Power Plant, and that's going to be shutting down. And I'm a local business owner here, and we were noodling as a kind of a local business, is like, how are we going to replace those jobs there? And once, you know, we're having some discussions amongst our Chamber of Commerce and things like that, and we have a Google data center coming to our community, which is going to be really cool, but it's only going to bring 150 jobs, which will be exciting, but it's not enough. And so based out of that discussion, when the special election came up, some people just encouraged me to go. They said, you know, you've been talking about these issues, creating jobs and economic development here within the chamber, and you might be a great great candidate to go out there and help us target our community for state economic development incentives. So that's how we kind of started with it. As we got into, as you probably can imagine, when you file to run for office, you end up uncovering a whole bunch of other things that are important to your community at the same time. And so now we've, in addition to creating jobs and economic development, we've also are talking about some other issues too.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those other issues, because looking at District 30A, it does kind of represent that exurban area, which includes parts of Elk River, Big Lake, I believe even a little area of Monticello's in there as well. It's kind of that Highway 10 corridor. It's almost shaped like a hammer, if you're looking at it, where it covers a large portion of Highway 10 in that exurban area. And it's experienced a lot of growth over the years, because even I, Chad, remember as a kid when we used to drive to our cabin on Lake Mille Lacs, Elk River was kind of our midway point. And at that point in the 90s, it was a very rural town. But of course, that's changed over the years. And that means you guys have a lot of infrastructure needs up there on Highway 10 and Highway 169. So talk about what you're planning to do in the legislature if you're elected in terms of trying to make infrastructure improvements in that area.
Yeah, excellent. That's actually a really good question. But I would just, I'll just go back and say our district is actually Elk River, Big Lake, and one precinct in Otsego, so we don't have anything over in Monticello. But
gotcha.
If you look at it on the map, it looks like it is Monticello, but it's not. But going back to your question, we have been experiencing rapid growth, explosive growth, you could say. It's residential growth, and as a result, just getting around town in our areas, we're a community, like you said in the past, it was a rural community, but now we got one foot in suburbia. And the other foot is in rural Minnesota. And everybody travels through to go up to their cabins up north. And one of the things that is on the radar here is, you know, this next session coming up is a bonding year. And what we're going to do in the bonding year in this biennium, the session is figure out what projects are worthy for the bonding resources. And I've pledged in my campaign to target our community within that bonding framework to get money for our local potholes, roads, and bridges. And in particular, our county board has a plan to build an overpass, which your listeners might, if they travel up north at any time, might want to hear, an overpass in Zimmerman, Minnesota. So then as you're coming through the community, let's say from Rogers, Minnesota, traveling up 101 into 169 through Elk River, there'll be no stoplights all the way to the casino in Mille Lacs, which will alleviate a lot of the pressure for rush hour of people coming through, but also for the local people that live here. And in addition to that, we started some road improvements from Highway 10, Becker, heading east towards the Elk River, and we need to get the rest of the resources for that too. So that'll be one of my top priorities, is speaking up for Sherburne and Wright County to make sure that those bonding resources come into play.
Oh, absolutely. That's huge. I remember a few years ago, I actually had a contract job where I was doing some accounting work up in Elk River for a few months, and how much of a nightmare that was sometimes to drive up that 169 and Highway 10 area when you still have those stoplights. Or actually, I think it's 101 if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yep.
That's going to be massive if you guys can get that set up where there's no more stoplights. Just the traffic flow is going to improve so much. Not just for people heading to their cabins, but even people locally in town just heading on their commutes.
Yeah, we have two really good grocery stores, three really ones good in town here, and I'm not going to seem to have a favoritism, but one of my favorite ones is on the other side of 169, so I purposely won't go there if I have to cross 169. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a hassle to get across there. But also, too, there's a human component, too. We have so many tragic fatalities there because it's such a busy road. And by having that, the overpasses there will definitely save lives, too.
And talking about infrastructure, it's not just adding lanes or getting rid of stoplights or building new roads. You kind of touched on this as well, but it's also maintaining those roads and bridges as well because, well, unfortunately, people are going to be experiencing this, especially in a couple of months. Once the snow melts, we're going to be into pothole season, and that's certainly not a lot of fun. And if you guys can get funds up there in that area, that would certainly make the driving a whole lot smoother.
Yeah, that's an important thing about the bonding and budget is trunk highway bills. They go a long ways to helping the state highways, right? Like Highway 169 and Highway 10. But there's usually not resources for local roads. And you touched upon the fact that it's reality here that we're experiencing explosive residential growth, and all of these pressures are on homeowners up here in property taxes to maintain them. And I don't know if you've ever built a new home before, but if you do buy a new home, that first year you live in your new home, you don't pay property taxes. The assessor comes out a year later, and then you come online to begin paying property taxes. But the needs are still there, and the real needs in the year when all the new people are moving in. And this also segues into our schools. So we welcome all the great new kids that are coming to our school district, but there's straining on all the resources there too. So in the next biennium, in 2021, that would be a year where we could talk in the K-12 funding formula for possibly recognizing communities that have explosive residential home growth, where the property tax base has matured to help them fill in those gaps for the new students and the special needs of those school districts.
And that's another big point to hit up right there is that, yeah, we do need to do something about statewide funding for education. This is just me talking right here, but you look at a lot of communities that have to rely on these local referendums and you're kind of at the mercy of the voters. And sometimes it's tough to blame voters for not wanting to raise their property taxes because those can certainly pile up after a certain amount of time. So, yeah, if we can come up with a better formula to fund our schools, I would think that would go a long way towards, well, just overall improving schools here in Minnesota.
And then, yeah, that's what I talked about on my website, chadhobodforhouse.com. I talk a little bit about that, but it's kind of confusing to understand it. As a candidate, I had to read up on a lot of stuff to kind of wrap my mind around why those things are. But in other counties, this also segues back into my number one priority of creating jobs and economic development in our area. Is if you look at like Anoka County or Hennepin County, those counties have a mature blend of light industrial, commercial, and homes, okay? So the burden for schools, the burdens for roads are well spread out, and there's kind of a stabilizing effect in that in terms of property taxes, right? But when you have explosive residential growth and not a lot of commercial and industrial, it puts the burden on homeowners, and that's just not fair. And homeowners, we're all for our schools, and I'm one of the top advocates there, but sometimes folks don't understand why those pressures are happening that way. But that's what it takes a leader, a state representative, to recognize those things and to advocate for your community when you're serving in the House.
Let's move on to another major issue that I'm sure is on the minds of a lot of voters in your district and really, well, any district here in Minnesota, and that is the issue of health care. Where do you see room for the DFL and the GOP for possibly working together to, well, try to find some sort of solution to lower health care bills here in Minnesota? Because we are, of course, in a very unique situation with the only divided legislature in the entire country. And if you are elected, you will be working with a Republican Senate, even though the DFL does control the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
Where do you think we have some room for possibly trying to find some ideas to lower health care bills?
Well, as you know, if you're just a casual reader of the news, you'll see that MnSure is not as popular as it could be, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. And there's also some confusion about what we can do with the exchanges with the position of the White House in D.C. and also the Congress, too. And so it's kind of a the biggest thing I think we can do for healthcare is to clarify as a state, but we're just going to take some coordination with our federal government and in the White House to figure out what the heck are we going to be doing. We're waiting for this healthcare plan that it still has not been revealed by the president that relates to Obamacare or protecting pre-existing conditions, but we haven't heard a clear plan on that. And so we need to have a partner on the other side of the aisle to be able to move forward. From what I know, I haven't heard anything on the Republican side about that, but I do know that there are voices that are out there that want to shore up and make it right, the access to MnSure and all other things like that.
And certainly if you're elected, this, I'm assuming, is going to be a priority, not just for you, but really everyone in the state legislature, at least it should be. And that, of course, is emergency insulin funding, because to me, it's still unbelievable that we don't have that emergency insulin funding bill passed through the state legislature yet.
Yeah, and on that point, you're absolutely right. And I don't know why we're still studying it. And if you're one of your listeners are out there, DJ Riley, if you're listening, I forgot to bring that up, and I'm so sorry, because that was the top priority that we had talked about in depth. My friend DJ is dealing with these issues with insulin, so it is a top priority. Yep, and I will work my butt off to make sure that we can find a solution. But you know, sometimes, you know, in this whole in the country we're in now, there's a lot of partisanship, and I'm interested in calling balls and strikes. It doesn't matter to me if a person with a good idea, the pitcher wearing a red jersey or blue jersey, Republican or Democrat, if it's good for the people, we should really do it and take our, and put Americans first. And this insulin issue just seems to be one of those no-brainer ones. And I think as a personality, my personality is I can work with other people, and I will work with the Republicans and I'll work with Democrats to make sure that we can find a solution to this and not kick the can down the road any longer. It's been kicked down the road too much already.
Well, it was just reported a few weeks ago, I believe, the end of 2019, that we do indeed have a budget surplus here in Minnesota. And we've heard lots of ideas in terms of what we should do with that surplus, with some people saying, hey, we should invest that in education, invest that in infrastructure. Others saying, hey, let's actually use that to refund Minnesotans through tax breaks. We've also heard people talk about, well, let's actually put that in the rainy day fund. What are your thoughts on what we should be doing with the budget surplus that we currently have here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into that, and as it relates to my community. And there seems to be a general consensus here, and I'm one of the people that are in that general consensus, that probably the fairest way to handle the budget surplus would be to do Jesse-style tax rebates. And I know the debate is growing about what to do with that budget surplus. And I remember 20 years ago when I got my tax rebate, it was a time when my car just broke down, and I had a student loan payment that was due, the mortgage that was due, and it wasn't a big check. But boy, it sure helped me get through that month. And my guess is that there's other people that would use the rebate check the same way. And that would be the only way I think we could, give it back equally and fairly. But that doesn't mean that we have other needs that the money could be used for. But there's a time and a place in our biennium system and our legislature for handling those things. So like this next session coming up will be bonding. And that's where we work on the roads and bridges and capital improvements. The next year is the budget year, and that's where we talk about K-12 K-12 funding formula. And that's where we handle a lot of those other needs. But I did have a meeting with a state senator that said that after inflation, when you adjust for inflation, that the budget surplus is more like about $300 million and some change. So So that may put a lot of people's hopes on what to do with that. The surplus, may not be a reality for anything, for anybody's plan. But I hope it will be.
And that was part one of my conversation with Chad Hobart, again, who is running in that House of Representatives special election in District 30A coming up on Tuesday, February 4th. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll touch on some more issues with Chad and also how he plans on winning in what is a very heavy Republican district. So stay tuned. That's coming up next. Listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Let's get back to our conversation now with Chad Hobart. Again, he is running in that special election for the Minnesota House of Representatives in District 30A, which takes place on Tuesday, February 4th. That district represents areas of Elk River, Big Lake, and a little bit of Monticello. So we'll continue talking with Chad now and touch on some more issues. So Chad, I want to move on to some kind of larger ideas and issues, because looking at District 30A, the former representative was Nick Zerwas, who used to represent District 30A, and looking at the history, this is a very heavy Republican district that's been that way for quite some time. So how do you plan on talking to voters in that district that typically vote Republican and think, well, I've never voted Democrat in my life?
Well, there's a fair number of those voters that are out there, and there's a fair number of the people that feel strongly on the Democratic side. For whatever it's worth, I don't think a Democrat has actually went out and knocked on a door out here in 20 years. And I have, and the people that I've met that would probably lean Republican, it's not as strong as a Republican monolithic group as you'd think. These voters that I've been meeting would I mostly identify Republican, are fiercely independent-minded people. They want to have common sense. They know what good government should look like. And they're just as frustrated as Democrats with all the partisan, partisan fighting that's going on in almost every area of our country. They just want to get results. They want to get things done. And I think those voters that I'm meeting are ready to elect a state representative that just wants to call balls and strikes for the community and stay out of the lane of all the pointing fingers in this direction and finger pointing coming from every direction. So I found that to be reassuring and refreshing to meet voters like that.
And I think you hit the nail on the head on the fact that, yeah, for so often, Democrats really didn't even compete in rural or even ex-urban areas. And we saw that they had some success back in 2018 where, yeah, people would get their doors knocked on that said, well, I've never actually had a Democrat talk to me or try to get me to vote for them. And I think just the idea that even if you're competing, yeah, you certainly can open some minds to maybe voting in a way that they haven't in the past.
Yeah, that's it's something that I've been really reassured by when I've been talking to people. So I guess we'll find out on February 4th.
Yeah, that we will. So as you've been knocking on doors and talking to folks in the district, what are some of the big issues that they've been telling you that they'd like the state legislature to cover in the next couple of sessions?
Well, believe it or not, I mentioned tax rebates. That's come up several times. Which suggests this kind of independent strain that runs through my district here. People still remember the Jesse style tax rebates from 20 years ago. The other thing is the roads. We touched on earlier in the interview that the explosive residential growth here and all the traffic that's coming through for commuters has caused a lot of friction with just getting around town and for people that travel through. So those seem to be the two top issues that I see that are out there. But there's another one too, and I'm gonna segue back to this one. In 2016, I don't remember if you remember on TV, we had all this, we were talking about the opioid crisis and things like that. And we threw a lot of money towards helping people. And in our area, Sherburne County, I think it's Otter Tail County, Crow Wing, are probably the top three counties in the state that have people that are suffering from some type of addiction, either alcoholism or something like that. And so they, we're looking for solutions to reach out to the people that want help and we don't want to leave them get left behind. So I've talked about in my campaign that I quit drinking alcohol myself about 7 years ago. And the faith-based program seemed to be the ticket for me. So I've been talking to folks in the community about maybe this would be an option for people that other things aren't working for. So that's also a concern of people in our area here is helping people in this this area.
Man, that election is certainly sneaking up just looking at the calendar. 2 weeks away from today. So I imagine over these next couple weeks here, Chad, you're certainly looking for volunteers, door knockers to help out with your campaign, correct?
I am. ChadHobotForHouse.com. If you want to go door knocking or make a small donation, that would be welcome, and I appreciate that. But yeah, we're out there knocking on doors and making phone calls and meeting people and just get out in front of a lot of people. Yep.
We've been speaking with Chad Hobot. Again, he is running in District 30A in that special election, which is taking place just 2 weeks from today on February 4th. So that is definitely coming on up. So, Chad, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. Really appreciate it, and best of luck in that election coming up in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Brett, and have a great day.
And coming up next, we'll be chatting about the impeachment trial taking place in the Senate and talking about who Democrats should call as witnesses as that Senate trial heats up, as we'll be speaking with Jeremy Vanook of the Moscow Project coming up next.